Welcome back, everybody. Today is the fifth day of our novena to Our Lady of Sorrows, and today we reflect upon the fifth sorrow, which is the death of Jesus and the piercing of Jesus' side. What did Mary see? Mary revealed to St. Bridget, "My dear Jesus was on the cross in grief and in agony. His eyes were sunken, half closed and lifeless, the lips hanging and the mouth open, the cheeks hollow and attached to the teeth, the face lengthened, the nose sharp, the countenance sad. The head had fallen upon his breast, the hair black with blood, the stomach collapsed, the arms and legs stiff, and the whole body covered with wounds and blood."
One of the things I try and do is when I meditate upon this, I place myself in the position of Mary, looking upon Jesus. And if I'm Mary, not that Mary did this, but if I'm her, I would have responded very differently. I would be standing at the foot of the cross, my son is before me, and I would be remembering back to the angel Gabriel's prophecy that he's going to be a king and his kingdom is going to have no end. And if I'm Mary, I'm standing at the foot of the cross, I'm having a little bit of trouble trying to reconcile this. This looks like the end to me. My son is dead. How can the angel's prophecy come true? I would be doubting myself. I'd be thinking, well, was that really God? Was that really an angel? Or could have it been a demon out of hell? And then I gave my entire last 33 years to this message, only now to be deceived at the very end. And if I'm Mary, again, I'd be thinking, well, is God even real after all of this? How deceived, how foolish I have been to believe that my son could be a king. His kingdom has no end, and well, this looks like the end to me.
Good thing you aren't Mary.
But this is the whole point. She has supernatural faith. This would have been a reasonable response. How in the world do you get out of this? Your son is dead. It's not like there's a history of people dying and resurrecting. We have the advantage of looking back and saying, okay, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Mary, so for me, I'm sitting there thinking, this is the end. And I bring this up because perhaps you've gone through different things in your life where you thought this is the end of my faith. God is not real. Mm-hmm. If God was real, why would he allow this to happen to me? And sometimes we're brought to the edge of despair. You know, how could there really be a loving God if this happened to me or to people around me? Right. So the whole point of me sharing this is, well, Mary rode through those dark nights faithful to God with her entire gift of faith fully intact. She never doubted. She never wavered. She never second-guessed. See, that's the whole point. So we can go to Mary, ask her intercession when we find ourselves tempted to give up on God. We have a great advocate in Our Lady. She endured, in one sense, it would have been, from humanly speaking, stupid to believe in God at this point. Why would you believe in his promises when it seems like they're absolutely impossible to be fulfilled now? Well, sometimes we feel that way. I mean, there's a disconnect sometimes in our rationale. You know, and our emotions lead us, or we get deceived by the devil. I'm just saying, if you're in a dark night and tempted to give up on God, ask Our Lady of Sorrows intercession.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of you are, like, I read your comments on the videos that we've already released, and some of you are going through deep, deep suffering, and you feel like letting go. But I just really don't want you to. I don't want you to, because Our Lady's there. She's going to lead you and guide you to her son.
A disturbing story that came to me. A woman, her mom was dying in the hospital. And this woman did not want to go see her mother in the hospital. Why? Was it inconvenient for her to get to her mom? No, actually, she just lived a few minutes away. Was the daughter occupied because of work and couldn't get away from work? Actually, no, she was a stay-at-home mom and all her kids were in school. She had lots of time during the day. Why didn't she want to go see her mother in the hospital who was dying? because she said it made her feel uncomfortable. That's selfish. But we can relate with this in some degree. Sometimes suffering, seeing someone else, it makes us uncomfortable. We don't know how to respond. Okay, she made a really bad choice. Mary doesn't avoid suffering. And as she did not avoid the suffering of her son, she will not avoid the suffering of us. She's not indifferent. She does not cast her eyes away. In fact, she goes to us and she wants to intercede for us in our crosses. But we should ask her to pray for us.
You know, the story of this lady that you just shared makes me think of, you know, St. John or St. Mary Magdalene. Maybe they were afraid to go see Jesus, but you know who they had with them? Was Mary. And so if we feel uncomfortable going to these dark places, maybe uncomfortable with sickness, uncomfortable with conflict, invite Our Lady to come and be with you, because she will help us to have the strength to be there in those difficult situations. Mary heard her son say, "I thirst," but it was not permitted her to give him a little water to quench his great thirst. She could only say to him, as St. Vincent Ferrer remarks, "My son, I have only the water of my tears." She saw that her son, suspended by three nails to that bed of sorrow, could find no rest. She wished to clasp him to her heart, that she might give him relief, or at least that he might expire in her arms, but she could not. The line that really stands out to me is that, like, she wanted to hold him in her arms as he died. Ugh. I just think of any of the stories of, like, parents who've had young children, babies who have died, and they'll often recount, like, how I held my baby when they took their last breath, and how that was consoling to them to be able to comfort their child during that moment. But Our Lady wasn't given that privilege to hold Jesus as he drew his last breath, which added to her suffering.
And how many times she did hold him. You know, how many times as a little boy, we forget these times in Mary and Jesus' life. She held him. She caressed him. She pulled him close.
She snuggled him. She smelled him.
She put him to bed in a comfortable bed. And here he is lying on a bed of sorrow, the nails holding him there. How many times Jesus was thirsty? And she attended to his needs as a little boy. She got the cup of water, or pulled it from the pitcher, from the pail. And all she has is her tears. These are the sufferings of Mary in this moment. I'd like to draw your attention to John 19:26, when Jesus is on the cross and down below him is Mary and John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, right? And Jesus says something very important to us here in this moment. He says, "Woman, behold thy son." He doesn't say, "Mary, behold thy son." Or he doesn't say, "Mother, behold thy son." Mother might have been appropriate, because that's his mom. But he says, "Woman." What's the significance of this? Well, scripture scholars refer us back to Genesis 3:15, where God is speaking to the serpent who has just deceived Adam and Eve and says, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." So Jesus saying "woman" is a reference back to Genesis 3:15, where God says to the serpent, "A woman is going to crush thy head." And so here in this moment, Mary, the woman, Jesus, her seed, Mary's considered the new Eve. And now the fulfillment of "thou shalt lie in wait for her heel" is coming to pass. The heel is coming down. The crushing is happening. Woman, behold thy son.
And don't we feel like we need Mary's heel to be crushing Satan right now in our times? I feel like it's needed.
John 19:27.
After that, he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own.
So notice that Jesus didn't say, behold the woman, behold Mary, behold your friend. No, behold thy mother. Mm-hmm. In this moment, this is so important. In this moment, Jesus is giving his mom to us. He's not just giving her as a friend, just another person who's going to intercede for us in heaven. No, he's giving his mother to us. In the passion of Jesus Christ, Jesus reserves nothing from us. He gives his breath, he gives his blood, he gives his entire self over to us, and he reserves nothing, holds nothing back from us, including his own mother. As he's dying, he gives everything, including his mother. Now imagine Mary hearing these words. How is she going to respond to Jesus's dying words here? His last breath coming from his lungs. Behold thy son. Is she going to respond to Jesus, look at John, think, my son? No, Jesus, you're my son. Do I really have to? She's going to respond as she has done her whole life, responding in perfect obedience to God's will, with her whole heart, not with a half heart. So in that moment, she becomes our mother, not a mother who has a half-hearted response to us, but a wholehearted response. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So friends, thanks for journeying with us. Please pray the chaplet with us at the end of this video. Comment below, share with us what stood out to you and why. And Our Lady of Sorrows,
pray for us.